7.
So, do you want to walk me out?
What a plot twist.
What a plot twist.
I would actually love to walk you out and do this podcast alone.
Yeah, we've had a rough start to this little back and forth. I think we're in a better spot right now.
We're in a better spot.
You came in hot today.
Evan's just being a little aggressive today, and I think maybe he had a bad day.
Yeah.
And maybe he's taking it out on me.
Bad day.
But we made up, we're friends again.
We're in a great spot.
We're doing better. It's fine. Today is going to be great. We're very excited about this episode
of Batch Please.
And I'm Allison Gunnell.
And I'm Evan Delaney.
And we are excited about the episode. We're also excited we have a special guest joining us later. You guys have heard me talk about how obsessed I am with TikTok before. I spend several hours a week on TikTok. Evan can attest to the fact that I'm often sending out TikToks at like 12 to 1 in the morning every day.
After I've been asleep for about 3 hours.
And one of my favorite people on TikTok, Diana Giulietti, who is really into outfit of the day videos, and she's all about fashion and loving yourself, and she's awesome. She's also a huge Bachelor fan, is absolutely trying to get on the next season, was hoping to be on this season, has all the gowns ready to go, loves doing her own reviews, and she will be joining us a little bit later, and I am super, super excited.
I love it when we bring on guests who I like had no idea who they were until you introduced
them
like, to me.
And I'm like geeking. I'm so excited.
Because, I mean, this happened even with people within the Bachelor universe, like Ben Higgins, Trista, when we talked to her. These were all people who, you know, I'm relatively new to the show, didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
And it always turns out great.
It does always turn out great. And I love teaching Evan new things and introducing him to new people and opportunities, especially TikTok related ones.
Yes. Although 9 times out of 10, I resist it. I'm honestly scared of TikTok, if I'm being honest with you. But one thing that I think was new that we need to talk about is last night's episode. It was hometowns. Kind of. Sort of. Not
we need
really
to call them something different. I don't like that we call them hometowns when they're not. And the girls are all like, I can't wait to show them like my hometown. And you are not going to your hometown.
Right. And these were
all
very loose interpretations of people's hometowns, I would say.
But dramatically better than the Tayshia versions.
I don't know.
Really? I feel like they were.
We'll get to it. The first one, which I think was great, probably the most like accurate evocation of a hometown.
With the big words today.
Besides maybe Serena P's later on. But we first have Michelle.
Michelle, first of all, I love Michelle. And every week, I love her more. And I truly, truly, while I don't think we talk predictions later, but I love Michelle. I think her and Matt are the best match, in my opinion. So we got to meet Michelle's students, which was super cute. She did kind of a Zoom video call in some sort of theater or auditorium building we were in, where they all got to talk about her and ask Matt really awkward questions about marriage and kissing.
I would love to have seen the permission slip sent home to the parents to be like, hey, can this kid be on The Bachelor? And B, can he ask them, where do babies come from?
Yeah.
Which, TBH, I would like to know the answer. I don't know.
True. And it was just really cute because we've had other like teachers be in hometown dates before where the lead got to meet the students. But I thought it was cute that they were still able to do that in a COVID-friendly Zoom way, very 2020/2021 of them.
Yeah, and I don't know if you noticed, but one of the kids who asked the question was named Evan. So shout out.
Of course.
Shout out to that guy.
Shout out to Evan.
So that seems to go really well. We meet Michelle's parents.
They were so great.
So I haven't been watching the show nearly as long as you have. Are these the best, nicest parents that have ever been?
They were definitely up there. And what I liked so much about them, well, I mean, her mom was just like an angel, a gem. Her dad was really nice, but he was appropriately skeptical, I felt, where he wasn't like accusing things or being like, but you're not ready, but this, but he was supportive. Yeah, he was supportive. He said like, you know, what do you think about this? And he kept reiterating over and over, but like, we support Michelle, we support you, we support this, what, you know. I thought they were great.
Yeah.
They were so sweet.
And I definitely think that Michelle is up there with Matt in terms of like, it's it could be her. We'll get to it again later.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be for a number of reasons. But, you know, he even said, like, he would consider moving to Minnesota for her.
Yeah.
And the parents were a little bit surprised by that.
I could tell that they were pleasantly surprised by that. So one thing that I thought was really interesting about Michelle's date, though, was that they kept bringing up this thing that happened 2 years ago. This relationship, this situation that happened 2 years ago. But they really didn't dive into it at all, nor has Michelle really talked about said relationship.
Well, that's because we don't hear anything substantive,
which was
on this
frustrating
show.
Yeah, because I mean, I even saw someone, I think it was Brett actually, Vergara, tweeting about this, but it was like, we saw 4 weeks of, you know, Queen Victoria drama, but we didn't get to see some of stuff like this, where it's like Michelle obviously had a very painful situation that was kind of shaping how she is today, and it would have been nice to hear more about it.
Yeah. And what was interesting, I think, for Michelle is that she kind of labeled herself as like a let's take it slow type of girl.
Yeah.
And clearly this is the exact opposite environment for those
it
types
sure
of people.
Is. Correct.
But it seems genuine.
Yeah. No, me. It does. To I me. Think that's Michelle just seems super genuine to me all around. I love her. She's
the
great.
The day went great. And her family got buckets at the end of the day. They were shooting hoops together.
I knew you were going to love that. Evan was like,
if Matt doesn't pick Michelle, I'm in. Sign me up. I know Katie's my number one, but sign me
Can
up.
Can you
for
imagine
too.
Just showing up and they're like, want to shoot some hoops outside? And you're like okay,
I would get on
great.
One knee right then.
You would have. I thought about that when I was watching it. I'm like, this is literally the perfect hometown date for Evan to be on.
So very successful hometown date. Next one, not so much.
Yeah, so.
Sort of. Rachel.
So Rachel's idea was to go skydiving, which has nothing to do with a hometown at all or anything whatsoever.
That's what bothered me.
Is that no correlation to anything.
This doesn't say anything about your home or what you do or
what
any of that.
What you like or your personality or anything.
Which given
which
some of
maybe
the outside
is okay.
news, probably is for but the best.
Also, I can't even tell you how much if someone blindfolded me and was like, surprise, we're going skydiving. I would have been like, no, I'm literally not. Like, I'm not doing... I would never have done that. I'm not... Yeah. I would never go skydiving. And
especially
she,
with those two dorks that...
They looked like they were, first of all, 12 years old.
Yeah.
No. And, yeah, what was the company? Like, I don't know that I trust it, the whole thing. But her landing was actually terrifying.
She totally clonked.
She literally... It looks like she could have freaking... She could have died or had, like, brain damage. Right. I mean, she hit the ground hard.
Yeah, or even, like, broken a leg or something.
I was actually shocked she wasn't more injured. I mean, she had some leaves in her hair.
And
she was, like, sore. And then she said later in her own hometown that, like, the makeup on her face was covering up some, like, bruising or something. Yeah. But, I mean, it was genuinely scary to watch that happen.
Yeah. And then Matt went to go tend to her. And when they were talking after the accident, like, it was clear that they took the time to, like, put makeup back on her and redo her hair.
Yes.
And, like, reset the scene.
And Matt, like, I don't know why the whole scene I felt was really uncomfortable.
It seemed a little metaphoric too.
Didn't it? And she started crying and Matt was like, you know, seeing you, you know, basically almost die just now really made me realize how much more I care about you. And it was kind of weird.
Yes.
Wasn't it? It was kind of weird. Like he was like, it just really put into perspective, and she's like crying because he's basically like, hey, remember when you almost died 5 seconds ago? And obviously that's very traumatic.
It's
so weird.
It's these types of high octane dates that like get people closer together because they experience this like adrenaline and this,
which is why they do them all the time. But it's still, the whole scene was just super awkward.
But I think it like skews the relationship and the chemistry with each other. And then when something like this happens, it heightens it even more.
Yeah.
But it goes back to what we talked about last week. Someone, and we don't want this to happen, but someone is going to get seriously injured or die on the show.
Yes, they do way too dangerous of things. I don't like it. I don't like it. Why can't we just have normal dates and stay on the freaking ground?
Yes. So he meets the family later that night. It went, I guess, better than I expected.
It went fine.
And I think I was biased just by expectations.
Yeah, I expected it to go fine. I think it went very average. I think it, again, was fine. I think
they were properly skeptical.
Yeah, properly skeptical. Seemed to like him. Seemed, you know, to ask Rachel all the same questions all the parents ask about, like, are you sure you're ready for this? Blah, blah, blah.
Did you see when the dad took a sip of the cocktail?
No.
With that straw? That has to be
a meme
or a gif here pretty soon.
I didn't. That's actually really funny.
Great
but
content.
No, I didn't see it. But the only thing really to note here was that Rachel was really, really hoping Matt would have asked her dad for permission. And usually the lead kind of asks like all of the dads for permission. And
yeah.
They all are like, you know, I trust my daughter, blah, blah, blah. I actually really like that Matt didn't like any of them because I think that that's a big thing to do. I think getting engaged, getting married are big, huge steps in your life and in relationships. And I think asking for or even multiple parents for permission, if you're not for sure that their child is the one, is mm-hmm. not fair to the parents, to the child. Because yeah. that's a big moment. Like, I knew it was important for me, for my now husband, to ask my dad or to, you know, have a conversation with him beforehand. And that's a big moment for both the parent and mm-hmm. the soon hopefully to be spouse. And I think that that's weird when they ask multiple people, because that's a big thing to yeah. then let three of the four people, you know, down on, basically.
And he said specifically he's not doing it just to check a box and that he would take that step when it comes to it,
which I like that. Know? And he said, I will, you know, I'll call the family of whoever I pick, basically, to make sure, which yeah. I was kind of glad. I think that was a respectable decision.
Yep.
That was pretty much it from Rachel.
Yeah. I would say maybe the world's least interesting hometown date happened next with
Bree. Oh my God, Bree's was so boring.
First of all, it's pretty obvious this is going nowhere.
Absolutely
literal
nowhere.
Tires in the mud, which is what we saw.
That was so stupid too. It was like, again, had nothing to do with anything. And it was like, remember when we already did this? Let's do it again.
Yeah, but in a safer vehicle.
And they just drove around in a car in the mud and had a picnic, or basically just sat there.
Yeah.
Weird.
I can't say I really learned too much more about Bree that we didn't already know.
No.
They talked a little bit about like jobs and working and stuff. But
not much. It was so much, like, yeah. There was like no substance, I felt like, to the day, their conversations, to any of it. And then yeah. the night portion, it was her mom and her friend and her baby sister. So her mom is very young. I think she talked about that earlier on the season.
Yeah, her mom
is like in her 30s.
Had Bree when she was 13. I think Bree's right. 24. So that's like 37, 38.
And has like a newborn baby.
Yeah. And like, perspective, like the mom is younger than Claire.
Yes, yeah, which is wild.
So, take that.
Who, by the way, is, like, obviously back together with Dale.
They've, yeah, like, I don't know what
hanging
that's
out in
about.
Florida, making out, holding hands and whatnot. But anyway, so the only thing really from Bree's date was that her mom was super skeptical and was basically, like, not into it.
She was not satisfied
she
with
was
the
not
answers.
Into it. She did not like his answers. And, you know, she was like, so are you in love with her? So, like, are you just telling all the other girls that, like, I mean, which are valid questions, but again, like, what always bothers me about these hometowns is, like, some of the parents that are really grilling them on answers they obviously can't answer because, like, hello, the show is not... I mean, you can't tell these parents, yeah, I'm in love with four people.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know what they always sometimes expect the answer to be. And what else is he supposed to say other than, I'm falling for her, but I'm not going to say that until I'm for sure and it's only one person left or whatever. Like, it's kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that was it. So the Bree one was fine.
I was surprised... Oh. When she was talking with Matt after her parents left and everything, or her mm-hmm. mom left and her sister and friend left,
yeah,
she was talking with Matt, and I thought she was going to say, like, I don't know if I'm feeling this. I don't know
yeah,
if it's
working. Yeah, she said she's
out.
Falling in love with him.
Yeah, she
and
had that pause.
All
she,
he said was,
thank you for telling me that tonight.
I was like, right. Oh, man. Because, like, when Rachel says it or even when Michelle says it, he's very much like, you can see his face light up, and he obviously can't say much, but he's like, yeah. I'm falling for you too. Thank you for telling me that, blah, blah, blah. And literally just looks at Bree kind of deadpan, like, thanks for telling me. It was so awkward.
So that leads me to believe that she was not going to get the rose had things gone better.
Correct.
With Serena P.
Correct. So the final hometown, that leads to the final hometowns, which honestly is my favorite of the four, Serena P's.
It was definitely the stronger.
Yeah, like the daytime part at least, because, like, so she's from Canada. So it was a whole Canada-themed day, which I thought was fun because it was, like, eating foods and, like, doing trivia and stuff that actually mm-hmm. had something to do with her home.
Yeah.
And I actually really liked it and thought it was fun. And it was clear they're having a lot of fun together, but I think that's kind of as far as it was really going, is that it was fun.
You ever been to Canada?
No, I haven't.
I've been to Montreal only for a couple of days. The poutine or Putin?
Yeah, poutine.
Oh, it's so good.
Wait, I've seen that here in some restaurants.
Yeah, there's some that have it, but, like, authentic.
Oh, I bet.
Mamma mia.
It's, I mean, so good. Cheese curds. Yum.
Yeah, yeah, it's good stuff. The one they showed didn't look that appetizing.
No, it didn't. And there was, yeah, it really didn't at all. But so, you know, hers was a Canada-themed day, and honestly, I thought it was fun, and Matt seemed to really enjoy it, and he appreciated that she brought in all this stuff that had, you know, something to do with her hometown. I guess I really want to know how that works. Like, when they're like, okay, you're the final four, what do you want to do for your hometown? Or do the producers suggest things, or do they just randomly say, like, ooh, let's go skydiving? Like, how, I would love to know more about how that process actually works.
We should have asked someone who.
Yeah, I never thought about it before. I should have asked Blake.
Yeah.
Like, how the hell do hometowns work? Like, you obviously have to get it, like, pre-approved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they can't just wing it, especially these ones where they're literally not going to their hometowns. Right. How do they come to the conclusion? I mean, because a Canada date is dramatically different than a skydiving date.
Yes.
So, anyway. So, you know, then, you know, Matt meets Serena's family, and her family is pretty instantly, like,
they're
not
sensing the vibes.
Feeling it. And it was her sister who was even like, look, you do not seem smitten with him, and I don't know what it is, but you seem to like him, but that's, like, it. You seem to like him, mm-hmm. and you do not seem smitten, and I don't know what it is. And it was almost like Serena needed her family to say that for her to realize, like, oh my god, you're right, there is something missing from this.
It's she knew deep down, but just, you need that one person to tell you, to reaffirm that in your head, so you're not the one thinking it.
And I think, I mean, I was even surprised Serena and his relationship made it this far. I think that they work really well as friends, and they work well on paper, and I feel like they just don't have, like, the romantic spark, and I feel like that was more of what was missing.
That's what we were always surprised about, that she kept making it through.
Right.
I think Matt had way more feelings for her than I ever anticipated or, like, knew, and it didn't really hit me until he got really emotional when she sent herself home.
Yeah, so Serena kind of...
he was broken up about that.
Yeah, so it was weird about that. So Serena shared her doubts, and, you know, Matt was leaving. He was, like, not feeling great about it. And then he went to go visit her, or he talked to Chris Harrison, who was like, yeah, you got to kind of figure this out. Like, you're narrowing it down to three. Like, you need to make sure, like, this is right. He goes to talk to Serena, and Serena basically says, like, you're not my person, which I give her a lot of props for doing. But Matt later seemed a little frustrated, like, we should have had this conversation weeks ago. But then again, like, sometimes, you know,
she,
you don't always know. It's only been, like, 6 weeks. Like, how long ago were we really supposed to talk about it?
Yeah, and when she's the only one who's able to, like, process her thoughts, because no one else really knows her and knows her background and stuff.
Correct.
She needs that reassurance from her family and her friends.
Correct. And so Matt was really emotional about this whole thing, about her leaving, about him not being her person. And I'm kind of torn because on the one hand, it seems like maybe their connection was deeper than we thought. But on the other hand, I kind of think that part of it was an overall emotion of how real this is getting for him with having only a few people left and his fear that, wait, is someone else going to do this to me and leave me brokenhearted about all of this? So I think it was kind of a mix of why he was so emotional.
I definitely understand that. To me, I think she had a chance to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I was so surprised by how he responded. Now, I'm not saying she would have. I just think, like, it gave her a chance, which I didn't think existed earlier.
Yeah.
I think ultimately it's still going to be Rachel. Part of that is because it's been sort of insinuated.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil stuff, but, like, it's kind of out there.
No, and I think that it's definitely been out there that the rumors are that Rachel is the person he picks, and that's why all of the drama has been so quote-unquote dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Matt also released his own statement finally yesterday, and I'm not sure on what, you know, when or whatever he was allowed, but he did talk about how extremely disappointing the photos were and the importance of people knowing the history of why this was so offensive, and the way that he wrote the post makes me feel like him and Rachel were together and are no longer. I don't know if it's because of this.
Yeah.
It may not be. They may have already ended things before this all came out. Maybe on his own he figured some things out he didn't like, or maybe they realized they truly weren't that compatible off the TV show, but he's now addressing some, you know, kind of addressing all of it. And he said, you'll hear more from me at the end of all of this.
Yeah, here's the full statement just so everyone gets the entire story. The past few weeks have been some of the most challenging in my life, and while there are several episodes left of the season, it is important that I take time to address the troubling information that has come to light since we wrapped filming, including the incredibly disappointing photos of Rachel Kirk-Connell and the interview between Rachel Lindsay and Chris Harrison. The reality is that I'm learning about these situations in real time, and it has been devastating and heartbreaking, to put it bluntly. Chris's failure to receive and understand the emotional labor that my friend Rachel Lindsay was taking on by graciously and patiently explaining the racist history of antebellum South, a painful history that every American should understand intimately, was troubling and painful to watch. As Black people and allies immediately knew and understood, it was a clear reflection of a much larger issue that the Bachelor franchise has fallen short on addressing adequately for years. This moment has sparked critical conversations and reporting, raised important questions, and resulted in inspiring displays of solidarity from the Bachelor Nation. It has also pushed me to reevaluate and process what my experience on The Bachelor represents, not just for me, but for all of the contestants of color, especially the Black contestants this season and seasons past, and for you, the viewers at home. I will continue to process this experience, and you'll hear from me in the end. My greatest prayer is that this is an inflection point that results in real and institutional change for the better. So I think, obviously, couldn't agree more with everything he's saying.
It's obviously kind of vague. Like, he obviously can't really speak to... It's kind of vague and kind of not at the same time. Yeah. Like, I think it's pretty clear that he's not with Rachel.
It's a real shame, too, that his season of what could have been so...
I feel really bad for him. I really do.
Is tarnished by all of this. It sucks.
I really feel for him. Like, it really does suck because now it's almost like nobody really cares about what happens because they want everyone to be able to talk on things and hear what's going to happen versus like what goes on the season. And I really do feel for Matt because it's taken a lot away from his season. And while we've said before he's not the most entertaining for TV Bachelor, he genuinely does seem like a really good guy looking for love. And it sucks that we're not actually getting to hear and see more of that isn't surrounded by a lot of other things. Yeah. So with that aside, we'll see. And like he said, we'll hear more from him at the end. So, Evan, rank the Back to the Hometown dates. Rank them in order of your favorites.
Okay. I think the number one.
Or the most fun.
Has got to be Serena Pease. I think that just felt to me the most related to the hometown.
Absolutely.
But also, like, showed Matt something that he clearly didn't know a lot about, which is good. Which is good.
I agree.
That's telling. A very close second, extremely close second, is Michelle's.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
While the bike rides to me didn't like say Minnesota.
No, was, by the way, hilarious at the end again. Michelle's always the one getting the little end credits. I wish we got to see more of that.
Getting to see like who she works with and who she works for every day is a really good way to connect with somebody.
Totally.
So from just like an actual romantic standpoint, I think that was great.
Yep.
You have two great ones and you have two shit ones.
Yeah.
I would say the lesser of two evils, although it almost resulted in severe injury, was the skydiving one. I'd love to go skydiving sometime. It would be fun. In terms of like qualifying it as a hometown date, it wasn't that good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Breeze, I honestly don't, they just gave up.
Honestly, I would switch those two just because at least Breeze was related to another date that they had, so there was some connection.
Yeah.
The skydiving was literally incredibly random with not one single connection to the show, to their relationship at all. Granted, they both were weird choices. So. Yeah.
So we've got three left. Bree, Rachel, Michelle.
And I think it's pretty clear that Rachel and Michelle are going to be top two.
Right. So we're in Fantasy Suites next weekend.
Next weekend.
Sorry. I'm thinking of my own plans.
Yes. Next week, Fantasy Suites. Actually, no. Next week's is not Fantasy Suites. Next week is Women Tell All.
Are they not like doing a...
No, two weeks.
Two for one?
Did you not watch the freaking preview?
I did,
but next week is Women Tell All, and in 2 weeks is going to be the Fantasy Suites and finale.
Oh, okay, good. Because I don't want to... Look, we like this, but this is going on for way too long.
I'm just like ready for it to be fresh and start over. I feel like we talked about this last time, but the Claire/Tayshia season... I feel like rolled right into this one, and it just feels like it's been one really, really long, disappointing season for months now.
Yeah.
And I'm really like, I think we all need a breather.
Right.
To come back fresh and
even if it's
new.
Like a month, just give me a month.
Or just skip over everything and go straight to Bachelor in Paradise, honestly.
Yeah. So Fantasy Suites next week, 2 weeks, sorry.
Two weeks from now. I just said that. And the finale.
And also. The finale. Okay. What do you think happens just in Fantasy Suites?
I think that he will go to Fantasy Suites with all three of them based on the previews. And I think he'll realize him and Bree really don't have much more of, like, I mean, I think they have a physical connection, but I think that's kind of it. So yeah. I think he'll realize that pretty quickly. And then I think it'll be Michelle Rachel, and then I think it'll be Rachel, and then we'll kind of hear, and after the final rose, I'm really, really interested. I know Chris won't be at that, but what will be said by everybody, and where we land with everything, and what Rachel has to say, and what Matt has to say, and kind of how it all ended, started, whatever. I don't know. I'm intrigued.
In a world where it is Rachel and they break up,
mm-hmm.
Part of me is like, oh, I hope he gives Michelle another chance.
But me
part
too.
Of, but part of me is like, should have picked her the first time.
I
you
know.
Let her go.
So I know. Actually,
you know what? I'm on team that.
I know, but I also want everyone to be happy and in love all the time. So
true.
I kind of want that to happen.
Yeah.
But I wanted it with Hannah and Tyler C, and it never happened. But it did cause a good friendship for them. It did create like a really nice friendship.
It did.
Which we'll take that as well.
Yeah. Friendships are great.
Friendships
too.
Are nice too. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We do want to hear what our friend, new friend, Deanna has to say.
We sure do.
So let's get to that interview, and then we'll close it out with some roses afterwards.
All right. So as we mentioned earlier, we have a super fun guest today. So from all of the videos I watch of hers on TikTok every single day, we now in person have Deanna Giulietti. Deanna, welcome to the podcast.
For having me. I'm very excited.
We are very excited. So Deanna is a fellow Bachelor super fan like myself. Mm-hmm. Evan's working on it. He's not quite there.
Getting there.
She also recently hit 1 million followers on TikTok. Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh my God. Thank you. That was like a huge milestone celebration for me. Oh my gosh.
I saw all the balloon pics and videos.
Oh, yeah, amazing. The champagne, the gowns.
The gowns. You got to do it. 1 million followers. That's huge. So we have so much we want to talk to you about. We want to talk to you all about your thoughts on the season. We'll talk to you about some TikTok things. Of course, Evan will do his best to understand what we're talking about since he doesn't know anything about TikTok.
I feel like this is turning into a roasting session of me the entire day. It's just been Evan
just
doesn't
like,
know this.
It's
Evan
just like he
this.
Makes so much fun of me for how much time I spend on TikTok that like this is such a
dangerous.
Good opportunity for me
oh,
to
absolutely.
Show him. How
it's
little
life. Yes.
I'm saying like I get so much fun of by him of how much time I spend on this is my time to shine with TikTok star Deanna. And you can just follow
okay.
along and do your
we'll
best.
We'll leave our personal grievances aside.
So first and foremost, something Evan does know something about. We're gonna talk to you about this season. So first of all, what are your thoughts overall on Matt's season?
Okay, obviously we're watching bullying and harassment from women attacking women this entire season. It is awful to watch. This is my honest opinion, like from watching every episode. I hate watching this season because I do not watch the show to watch women tear down other women. To me, that is not the drama I want to see on the show. The drama I want to see is like they're going on a date and they're falling madly in love so fast, but then all of a sudden like, oh, there's like a tension in the air and they're not working out and one of them breaks it off. You know what I mean? Like, I love watching them fall in love so fast and being like, did she just say I love you? Like, it's been 2 days. Like, that's what I'm obsessed with. Not the OG varsity. What was that? That was garbage. Oh my
no,
God.
I totally agree. And we've talked about this so much. Like, you watch this for like a wind down, like relief kind of thing to watch. It's like mindless TV in the best way. And then we're seeing the like really mean, nasty girl against girl conversations. Like it's really hard. It's hard to watch for many reasons.
I think part of the reason it's happening more is because they're not going anywhere. There's no travel this season. Right. And that everyone is just stir crazy from COVID and pandemic. Like they just need to have some sort of outlet and they forget how to act in a society. That's my assumption of why they're acting this way, because it is toxic. Yeah. It's bad.
It's terrible. And I've been also trying to be like, every season they try to paint women, especially when it's the women, right? Whenever it's the mm-hmm. Bachelor, they always try to paint women as like crazy, super emotional, right? But like, I always give them the benefit of the doubt of like, they're all dating the same man. They're not crazy. They're just in a crazy situation.
Totally.
This season though, it's too much. I think you're still right. I think it's the pandemic. Nobody was dating anybody. And then they quarantined for 2 weeks. We always forget that. Like they were locked away for 2 weeks, only thinking about Matt. And then like they go to meet him. And now all of a sudden, like, they're all losing time with him because they're bringing in more and more girls and like it's the insecurities, but it's so like toxic. Oh my God, I was having heart palpitations. Was it last week's episode when the girls were coming from each other?
Oh, it's every episode. And whenever like the new girls come, like I always feel so sad when like the new girls come and they're so mean to them, because I'm like, it was a producer decision of when they let girls in and like what the timing is. The girls had no, I mean, it was not up to them when they show up for different things, and it was like so sad to watch them just attacking them before meeting.
That new girl, Heather, I think was her name, from Colton season.
Yes.
She, when she came in and their reaction to her, I just was thinking in my head, I was like, I personally thought if Matt took her in, the other girls should have left. If Matt said yes, the other girls should have left. I thought that was going to be the worst move ever. But, like, that's on Matt. That's not girls against girls. That's on Matt. Put it on him.
Exactly.
Like, right on the attack in the worst way. And it was like, oh, my God. It just hurt my heart. They were all sitting there grilling this girl who came in. Like, she's the enemy. I was like, babes, you're all dating Matt. And if he chooses this rando girl right now, like, walk out. All of you band together and walk out. Because he's going to do that in your relationship forever. Like,
it also makes me sad for like the maturity levels of the people that are on the show. And I'm like, when Matt Reeve, when he watches this, he's going to be so disappointed in how everyone acted and treated each other. Cause he obviously doesn't have as much insight into that.
Yeah.
Like he's going to be really upset when he sees how nasty a lot of these women were to each other.
Oh, I know. I hope in the final rose ceremony, they all just are like, it was such a crazy time and we were just, I think they just apologize. I want them all to just apologize and be like, we don't know what happened. We blacked out that whole season. And I'd be like, amazing, let's move forward.
Right. Absolutely. So everyone was mentioning the dates, how like they really can't travel. So I have been pretty critical, I think, probably we both have.
Oh yeah.
Of some of the, of what I would say a little bit of lack of originality and entertainment in some of the dates. What do you think of the dates? What do you think of the dates this season?
They're terrible.
They're so bad.
They just are so bad. You know, I kind of thought the squirrel date. Why am I thinking squirrel?
Oh, when the fall. Yes. The fall, like
the pumpkin
festival thing.
Yeah,
I liked that one.
So did I.
I thought that was fun. I thought that was entertaining. They're getting them active. They're getting them moved. I thought that was fun. But like even their one-on-one dates, they're not it.
No, they're not.
The massage one was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We thought that one was funny. Yes.
Yeah, it's Serena just, like, didn't love it.
But oh, the Serena. Oh, the tantric massage one. Oh, yeah. Serena was really out on that. Mm-hmm. Well, we were talking earlier about the hometown dates from last night and how they're...
Two were like, they could be considered hometown-esque. Two of them were just like, we're going to ride around in a Jeep and we're going
to skydive.
It has nothing to do with like where you're from or anything.
Right.
And like the Canada one, I really liked the Canada one because I'm like, look, that's like, you know, has something to do with where she's from. Like we're trying Canadian foods. Like this.
Right. And she was stressing that. She was like, I was born and raised there. Like I care about this.
And Michelle's where he got to meet her students on like Zoom. Like that was super cute. But the skydiving for me was so, I mean, I have my own feelings about skydiving and planes anyway, but the skydiving date for a hometown legitimately did not make sense to me at all.
Have you ever been skydiving?
No, I hate planes. I don't think I would want to jump. Maybe I would want to jump out of one. Because maybe I wouldn't. Have you been skydiving?
I have. I've been skydiving. I would never do it again.
That's not exactly a glowing endorsement for me to want to go.
Was your landing better than Rachel's?
Definitely. My landing was much better than Rachel's. That would have scared me so bad. I thought she handled herself so well. Oh my God.
Well, I told Allison earlier, like the two people who were with them looked like total goobers. Like they
looked like they were children.
Yeah. Well, what the heck?
They literally looked like children. I saw someone tweet and they were like, why is Rachel's skydiving partner a literal lead on a Disney Channel show? Because they literally look like they're 12.
I really didn't even notice. I didn't even notice that. Fall was just so harsh. And then I know he like toppled over her. They had like the face. I really do think she got like really hit bad in the face.
Yeah.
She said that later. She was like, I have makeup covering up my bruises from the fall. But I like wouldn't have been shocked if she had legitimate
something,
internal bleeding or broken bone.
So fast. And from that like short clip I watched, he literally like fell over her. They hit and then they like tumbled together, like knee to the face.
Yeah. Added to the list of reasons I will not be skydiving anytime soon.
So Allison has
exhilarating. It was exhilarating, but
now we're back. I feel like we're backtracking now. Now you're trying to be like, it's great.
So Allison shed a little light on me, that you were potentially going to be on this season, or you at least got very far into the rounds. Oh, I'm bringing up a sore subject, am I?
Absolutely. It's the worst subject. It's the worst subject, but it's also wrong. I applied the day we found out that it was Matt James. I applied and made like videos about it because I was like, you know how they did the quarantine crew?
Yes. Evan knows because I told him about it, but I know because I watched all the videos.
I watched all of them. I was doing the workouts with them with my best friend. It was like something we did during quarantine, right? And my best friend was in love with Tyler C and I was in love with Matt James. I was like, he's like a hidden gem. Like nobody's after him. I'm in those DMs, baby. I'm like,
you're like hyped when they announce him as Bachelor. You're like, this is it.
When they said he was Bachelor, I freaked out, applied immediately, did the whole thing immediately, started making videos. Some were going viral of me to get on the Bachelor. And I'm asking people to nominate me, tag Bachelor Nation. And then Reality Steve said that the last day you're going to find out is like September 10th or something like that. If you get an interview, the first round of interviews, the last day you'll find out is September 10th. I got 20,000 people to tag Bachelor Nation. 20,000. That to me is insane.
That is insane. 200
people nominated me, like sent full on replies. I sent snail mail and sent it. I didn't even get an interview.
That's a crime. That's a crime.
Nothing. And everyone was like, it's because I made it public and I put it on TikTok and stuff that they were like, oh, we can't, it's too public. We can't have her be a part of it or whatever. That blows my mind. 20,000 times they were tagged on TikTok and Instagram and message. And I didn't even get literally no call, nothing.
That's wild. I don't understand. And you had gowns.
I had gowns.
You had gowns.
Because I also, one of my friends like is very good friends with a casting director. And she was like, I sent your stuff directly to him. Like, you're going to get a call. And I was like, I'm buying the gowns now. I've got it.
Oh, man.
No problem. I was secure in the idea.
Yeah.
There's no way they could say no.
You would. Oh, my God.
They said no. They said no.
And did you keep the gowns?
Yes.
Okay. It was the green one. For me,
I'm with you. It is the green one for me as well. I will always wear that.
I think you should wear it every day.
In my future season, the green dress will be what I wear out of the limo.
That green dress is, I'll show you a picture later when you don't, it's fine.
It's everything.
It is one of the most beautiful dresses I've ever seen. It's fantastic.
So when Matt was announced, you tried to pounce on that. And obviously it didn't happen, but based on how the season has gone, do you think that you and Matt would have worked out in the end? I don't want to keep bringing up this source.
I know.
I'm super interested. It's a good question to ask.
After watching this season, no, I don't think we'd be a good match at all, actually. Yeah. So, you know, it worked out for the best. The universe worked in my ways. My only thing I can say to that is like watching how he is in stressful situations and watching the way he handles certain things. I think he's a great guy. I think he's confident. I think he speaks well, but I don't even have that spark for him when I'm watching it. I'm really just watching it to see if they have a spark, but I don't feel like, oh my gosh, I could see myself with this man. I'm missing my chance. Mm-hmm. So I think it worked out for the best. What do you guys think?
We both We both think that kind of the same thing that you're saying is that he definitely is a good person. He checks a lot of boxes, but just from like a TV viewing standpoint, it's kind of boring. But part of that I blame on the show because we don't see a lot of
actual things
of like actual substance or actual personality. We see, oh, blah, blah, blah. I like that. Like that's the response to every single thing they say.
Yeah.
And so a part of it, I blame the show. Part of it is
I just don't think he's a TV guy.
I think he's a TV guy. Yeah, yeah.
Like I think he seems like a great guy and he's a good TikTok guy. Like he's, but maybe, I don't know. I feel like maybe on TV is just a whole different ballgame.
It could be editing too, right? Because
when
they showed the bloopers this week of him and Michelle, I was like, where's more of that? Like that was so fun.
We see that every week because the bloopers are always so funny. And I feel like you actually get personality from the bloopers and we never get to see any of that in the actual episodes, which is
the whole episode is like, these are two girls yelling at each other on this couch. And now they're yelling on this couch.
And half the episodes, we don't even get a rose ceremony. And I'm like, what did I watch this for? Like, I get so frustrated by the lack of rose ceremonies.
It's a love-hate relationship.
It is a love-hate relationship. But speaking of applying for the show, Evan is planning to apply for the show. What? He really wants, if Katie is the bachelorette, Katie, Evan is so in.
The same way that like when Matt was announced, you're like, I'm in. When Katie's in, I'm applying.
She would be perfect as the bachelorette.
Yeah.
I kind of did an all call on the podcast a couple weeks ago that like if Katie is the bachelorette that everyone needs to nominate me, hearing your story.
Maybe we shouldn't do that.
Maybe I'm cutting that out.
I don't know. Maybe that's not the move. You can't make it public. I have no idea.
But it'll be closer to 20 as opposed to 20,000.
So, I mean, you never know. Lots of people are super invested in your bachelor journey, Evan. So we'll see how it goes. So, okay, Evan's journey side. So back to this current season. So we know that Matt was more of your type before, not so much when he's on there. Who would your ultimate, like from a past or someone who hasn't been the bachelor, like if you could handpick, like who is the bachelor? You're on the season. Like who is it?
My views truly on the show have changed drastically now.
Yeah.
And now I just want to be the bachelorette.
I hear you. I think
like, I don't even think like who would be, I be okay with like fighting for now is like a whole concept in my head. Like who would I like want to fight women for? I don't know.
Right. So who's your favorite season that you've watched?
Oh, my favorite season that I've watched. That's a very good one. Who had the best season? JoJo.
I love JoJo. I loved JoJo.
JoJo season was it for me. She is incredible. I thought she handled things so well on her entire season. Oh my God. And there was all that drama with her and Jordan, and I followed their lives so closely now. So I think JoJo's season was my favorite with that. And but also Tayshia is the best bachelorette we've ever had.
Evan's a big Tayshia.
I would agree.
Big
Tayshia.
It's an honor to have Tayshia, and I wish we had her for the whole season. She was the best. She was so much fun. She made it seem like it wasn't a pandemic going on. You know what I mean? Like she was just so casual and calm and cool and collected with everyone. And like, wow. I think, maybe scratch everything I've said, because if Ivan was the bachelor,
We love Ivan.
I also love Ivan. So maybe do we think Mike Johnson would ever be the bachelor again? Because I would also fight for him.
We were really, really wanting Mike to be the bachelor,
especially when it ended up being
Peter. Because I thought Peter was a huge disappointment. I don't know.
For those watching, we all made faces.
We all made faces. Peter. Was that season was so rough, and all of the afterwards stuff too.
It was the worst season.
It was awful. Like it rivals like Juan Pablo season for me, and like I hated that season, and it was really up there. And Mike, even like when he came on the podcast, we asked him all about this, and he
was disappointed.
He was so bummed because he was in the final stages. He had been like considered.
Yeah. Then they just like pulled Matt James from nowhere. I was like, Mike Johnson is a favorite. Like, I also loved Matt James, so I wasn't mad about it. But like everyone loved Mike.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. I wish Mike would have had his chance. I don't know if he'd do it now. I feel like the time has passed and he's like, forget it. You should have asked me when
After listening to his podcast and like his statements on what Chris Harrison has said, like I don't think he would ever come back to the show.
He's kind of said that. He's basically said like, why is anyone gonna want to come on the show?
Right.
After everything.
Right. I really think they need a new host now. That's where I stand on it. I really think
that's probably the direction it's what needs to happen. Heading too. Right. So with last night hometowns, what would your hometown date look like if you were bringing Matt or Ivan or Mike Johnson home for a hometown? What would you guys be doing? Assuming COVID's over and you can actually do things.
Okay, COVID's over, we can actually do things. I would have my entire family, like extended Italian. We're talking 100-ish people.
I love it.
We would do like all the meals, and it would literally be him meeting everybody. It would be chaotic energy. I'm sure the viewers would hate it because they wouldn't know what was going on. But I need to know how my potential husband is going to do in a Italian family, because can you get a word in? Can you hold your own? Can you take a joke? Are you going to cry? Like, how are you going to handle it?
That's a solid. And where is your hometown?
Oh, that's a good one. I grew up in Cheshire, Connecticut.
Okay.
But now my family lives in Boston, Massachusetts.
Okay. So
like my big, like everyone lives in New Haven, Connecticut. Like that's like
my
hometown. So that's what we would do.
Okay.
Like, my family grew up across the street from each other in New Haven, like two Italian families across the street. They had like everybody, two brothers married two sisters.
Oh my God.
Had like five kids and grew up across. So it was like, our whole neighborhood is basically family. So like I would need my husband to like fit in, bring the pasta and see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I have a huge Italian side of my family too. And they all live in, a bunch of them live in Staten Island, and they are like all in on the like Sunday family dinners. It's a huge event. Like whenever we're like in town visiting or whatever, it's like a huge to do. And it is like, we're going to the bakery, we're going to the butcher shop, like we're making the fresh pasta, like we're having a freaking massive, massive holiday worthy spread for like family dinner.
Like what? Nothing is better than that. Like, yeah. Wait, what do you think? Do you think they really fall in love on the show? Where do you stand with it?
I think they do, but only because they're in this environment. Like they don't, their brains are like warped a little bit, and they just like think faster, and they just don't think about the other possibilities outside of this situation.
Right.
Yeah, I think it depends also on the season. Like some seasons I'm watching and I'm like, they're in love. And then other seasons I watch and I'm like, they're forcing it too much. Like if you go back to the Colton Cassie situation, I literally did not think Cassie was into that at all. And even when they left the show together, I was like, no, she's not into it. But then when I watched like JoJo and Jordan, I was like, they're in love. Like even Tayshia and Zach. Yes, I was like, they are in love, but I don't always feel that with everyone. I feel it more on Paradise. I always say this to Evan, I think Paradise has the higher success rate because there's more than just like 30 people fighting for one person. That's just kind of like a mingle and see who you
get to know, and hanging out in group settings with other couples. Like you really get to know a little more than
Than like one date every other like month, whatever it is on the actual
Bachelor. Week. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think it just depends on the season. Like I don't know. Like honestly, this season, I don't actually know if Matt's in love with anyone. Like I think he connects with Rachel. He obviously likes Rachel. I think I like Michelle for him. But like I don't know if he's in love with any of them.
Michelle for him. Yeah. Agreed. I think we have love.
Yeah, I don't know. And this whole season, again, we're kind of over it because I feel like the Claire into Tayshia into this has been like one really long, frustrating season that's never going to end. And I feel like we need a reset.
Like, we need a nice, juicy Bachelor in Paradise.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes. Honestly, if we skipped right over the Bachelorette and went right to Bachelor in Paradise.
That's like, what we need right now.
that's what we need. So, okay, so I have to... Of course, you're famous for your OOTD videos, and we love good OOTD. So can you give us a quick on-the-fly OOTD for Matt James's fashion? Like, you're Matt, and you're doing the OOTD as Matt.
So put your turtleneck on.
So put your turtleneck on.
I'm Matt, the outfit of the day, the OOTD, the Utada, the Matt James. Here I am. Oh, he's giving me, I'm always rubbing my hands. He's giving me, I don't know what to say, so let me just kiss her. Back it up, back it up. Peep the same loafers. I don't know if you clock. He only wears those one pair. move it over. Clock the shoe. Yeah, I'm going to give him a strong 12 out of 10, though, because he's fine. And nobody can take that away from him.
I think that was perfect. I think nailed that it. Summed up everything about Matt. I don't even think we need to watch the season. I think that's the whole
thing. And he goes,
the hand rub with the laugh is literally Matt. That's all, his personality.
His
is
laugh
him.
Kills me. It's so funny. It's such a bad laugh.
I think it's like such a defense mechanism and he doesn't know what to do. So he laughs and rubs his head. Like, I think he just laughs at everything because that's his only way to react when everything's so weird. And like the hand rubbing and the laughing with throwing his head back is the only.
He'll kind of do a little thing with his tongue too. Like, oh, strange.
Yeah, he does.
Also, what do you think about the fact that he kisses with his eyes open?
I am waiting for them to seriously talk about it. Like, why is it all over the internet?
Like, has no one ever told him before?
The
like,
other person has their eyes closed. They don't know.
I guess that's true, but like, the producer should really help a pal out and be like, bro, do you know that you're literally kissing everyone with your eyes wide open?
Some people do kiss that way, and I can't even believe that that's him. Or the makeup that gets on his nose.
Oh my god, that was hilarious. That was great. I mean, you know, I felt bad because it happens. You know, we all have.
It happens. That's something to be said about him. Like, he may not be the most entertaining, like, bachelor, but, like, he's just a guy, you know?
Yeah. I feel like if something bad happened to you while you were there, like, he's a good person to have around. Like, if you're I feel like he can handle those things with a laugh because that's the only way he knows how to handle things.
Yeah. And I want him to find love. And I think that Michelle is such a catch. I think Bree is such a catch. And Rachel. I felt all of them from the beginning. I was like, wow, they're like. Actually, Serena and Bree, I thought were going to make it to the final four. Those were my two in the very beginning. Those were my predictions.
You were really into Bree from the beginning.
Yeah.
You liked Bree a lot.
I actually picked Rachel at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I'm actually pretty good at picking.
You are pretty good. For someone who does not have a lot of background on it, you are pretty good at picking.
That is good. I didn't pin her right away. She reminds me of Ben's fiance. Do you remember Ben's fiance?
Ben Higgins' fiance?
No, Ben. I forget his last name. Ben in that model girl. Do you remember him? Long hair Ben that kind of looks like Josh Groban.
Oh, I'm trying to think through all the Bens. Oh my gosh. Yes. I don't know how to pronounce the last name. Flagic, something like that.
Ben F.
You don't know him.
I don't know him.
Yes.
The girl he ended up with was this, like, she was the villain of the
Courtney.
Season.
Her name was Courtney.
Yes. And they ended up together. When I first saw Rachel, she looks just like Courtney. So she's going to be the villain. But
Courtney was bad news. And they ended up together. But she was the villain the whole time. So it was one of the only seasons where they actually ended up with the villain.
Interesting.
Imagine. You picked Rachel straight away. You said Rachel.
Mm-hmm. He did. You said Rachel immediately.
Yes.
Based off of basically nothing too.
Sometimes you just know.
Sometimes you just know.
I don't have a formula for it. With Colton, I was like, oh, he's gonna pick the blonde. Duh.
That's fair.
For Rachel, I was just like, I don't know. She's giving this is solely based on bio and picture. And I was like, yeah, I think that's the one.
Well, I think you might be right, my friend, and we will find out in 2 weeks. So back to fashion for a quick sec. What did you think of last night's rose ceremony dresses? So we had our blue Rachel dress. We had our high neck, long sleeve, open back, little belt Brie dress. And then we had our other black Michelle dress. Thoughts, feelings.
I thought Rachel's dress blew up her blue eyes. I didn't think that she had blue eyes. And she does, and that was stunning. I love Bree's fashion this entire time. Like, I did a whole like YouTube video on their first dresses when they came out of the limo, and Bree's like dress from the beginning was so fire. And Michelle looks stunning in anything, and I stand by that, and I will die on that hill.
I agree. And Bree's for me, like from the front, I was like, okay, like it's cool. And when she walked to get her rose and I saw it was complete open back with a little like blinged out little like belt looking thing, I was like, and that's my favorite one.
Yeah. She has had amazing fashion this whole time, truly.
And Evan, thoughts on everyone's fashion?
I noticed the little blinged out back.
Yeah.
I will say Brie, I think, is like one of the most stunning people to ever been on the show.
Oh, without a doubt.
Oh my goodness. So I agree that she, like fashion wise, has been great.
Yes.
I noticed with Rachel's dress that the slit was like kind of in the middle. There were some comments about that with people I was watching with.
That wasn't interesting.
That's not a normal thing, right?
I would say it's not your typical slit placement, but I am here for the unique slit. Yeah, it's usually a side slit.
Yeah.
As in Diana's famous green gown, it is a side slit. But I mean, you know what? I support a beautiful gown regardless of where the slit is. So I'm here for it. And that's fine.
I did just recently try on a wedding dress that had a slit up the middle and loved every second of it. So it could be coming in.
We don't slit shame on this show.
We do not. All slits are welcome in every dress. So let's deviate from Bachelor for a second. So you are into theater.
Yes.
We are into theater. We have some like rapid fire theater questions for you. On your opinions on different things.
Oh. Okay.
All right. It's not a quiz, just opinions. You're fine. Okay. So first of all, how has the pandemic changed how you are able to audition, be, and anything like that? Obviously with Broadway being shut down and shows all being shut down, how has that changed your theater life?
Well, I got off of my cruise ship. I was doing Jersey Boys, and that ended February 2nd. And then obviously like I moved into my apartment in the city March 1st, and then the shutdown. So I was like just about to start auditioning again, and then it was over. I did one of a class with Six the Musical during the pandemic. And I actually was like making progress, made it to finals. Like I thought I was going to get cast in Six during the pandemic, and they were like set to open up November. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. And then obviously now everything's been pushed again and we're back to square one. So it was like, that was the most like defeating arc of my pandemic for me. Cause I was like all about the self tapes, all about taking the classes, getting to know people. And then for that, like excitement for Six to just go so like downhill and be pushed out so far, I was like, oh wow, okay, I'm back in the waiting game again. So I really have like slowed down all type of auditioning for musicals until I know it's actually gonna come back, you know.
Oh yeah, I hate that. I mean, we were actually in New York for work last
January,
and I saw Wicked when I was there. And which I've seen a bunch of times here, like in Cincinnati, but seeing it on Broadway was different experience. And I was like, man, this is so great. And I'm like making plans for myself to come back to see other shows. And then a month later, Broadway was over. We were like, well, maybe someday.
Like now it's the time, since we're all waiting for Broadway to come back. Now's the time to like, now would be the time to travel, but you can't travel.
Right. So it's the time to make TikToks. So what is your favorite role that you've ever played?
Lizzie in Lizzie the Musical in Dayton, Ohio.
Really?
Oh, not too far from us.
That's not far at all. My brother actually went to University of Dayton. He just graduated from there. Oh, it's not far at all.
It's like an hour.
Yeah.
It was really nice. It was like the typical theater summer in Ohio, but I actually loved it.
Were you into like show choir and stuff and like in high school in theater?
Yes.
Love it. My high school was very into show choir.
I started our glee club in high school.
Amazing.
Like, I'm Rachel Berry. Like they must have ran around with me 100%.
I love it. Okay. So what's like your dream role?
Okay. Here we go. I think they're goals, not dreams. I think I will be
I like it.
Catherine of Aragon in 6. And then after I'm Catherine of Aragon, I will be Elphaba.
Yes.
Those are my now goals.
Their goals, we're actually manifesting them to become real. I will absolutely come to see you as Elphaba.
Since we have already talked about Wicked a few times, I'm going to throw another Evan's dad stat in here. My dad has seen Wicked over like 55 times.
He's into it.
That's right. If you're ever Elphaba, he'll probably watch you.
He'll definitely, support. Definitely.
I look forward to it. Yeah. I love
that. Wicked is coming here also this season.
Oh, he knows. He's told me.
I know he knows. I want to make sure you know. So I have season tickets to our theater in Cincinnati, which has been sad because I've been, you know, I have my membership and we haven't been able to see any of the shows, but they're coming back in September. Oh, and this year we have Wicked and Hamilton.
Hairspray.
Ah. Fans. It's going to be...
A couple other ones. I forget.
Frozen. Pretty Woman. I forget the other ones. Yeah. But the big ones. Very excited about.
With a bang. Like, once we get to see live theater again, it's just going to explode.
We were just talking about this the other day when we were literally watching Hamilton on Disney Plus. And I was like, I genuinely think the first play I see that's like safe and COVID's over, no matter what it is, I think I'm just going to cry the entire time for how like overwhelmed by seeing live like art again is going to feel.
Shrek the musical, Allison cries.
You know?
I'm like, just the feeling of like getting to dress up and go to the theater and see a show. I'm like, I'm going to cry the whole day, I think. Yeah.
So what do you think a Bachelor musical would look like?
You know, they have one. Have you seen?
No. What?
There is a Bachelor musical that they like pitched. There's some performances of it on TikTok. I think it made it to Off-Broadway, but it's so funny. And they do like the mic. Can I get a rose? Like it's so cheeky and cheesy. I think it's like a sketch musical or something. It's really fun.
We need to watch.
It's on TikTok. It's really funny.
All right. Well, I'll probably find it.
I guess
I'll
have to get a TikTok then.
Add it to the list of reasons.
Yeah.
Okay. So what do you think most underrated show and most overrated show?
Oh, most underrated show is the show called Alice. Wait, what was it? What is it called? Alice in Wonderland. No, not Alice in Wonderland. Oh my God, what is it called? Oh my God, I have to get this. Folk off-Broadway musical that didn't make it to Broadway. It is so good. Call Me Alice. But it's folk and it's
amazing. Oh, interesting.
There we go. Alice by Heart.
Oh.
So underrated, so amazing. Wow, let's bring it to the top of the charts. Also, Carrie is amazing.
Okay, I have heard of Carrie. I've not heard of the other one, but.
And then overrated. I don't know. Oh, yes, I do. Be More Chill.
Oh, I don't know that one either.
Oh, yeah. That was like a huge fad in the city for a while. And it was like all this hype. Everyone was obsessed with it. I went to see it. One of my friends was in it. And I was like, okay, it's not everything.
Not for everyone. Okay. So last question. This one, obviously back to TikTok. Thoughts on the TikTok created Ratatouille musical?
Loved every second.
I was like, went through a quarantine phase where I was like, searching for Ratatouille musical content because I was so invested.
I loved everything about it. It was never on my For You page though. I always had to search. And I was like, I don't know what side of TikTok I'm on, but it's wrong. All I want is this.
Oh, it became like my entire For You page. What is your For You page? What makes up your For You page?
Bridgerton the musical now.
Oh my God. Same.
I'm in on that too. I would be interested in that.
Evan does now watch Bridgerton as well. And I'm getting so much Bridgerton the musical content. I am so here for that.
I love it. Oh my God. Bridgerton the musical content. Oh my God. What else is on my For You page? Funny like content creators who just like spew really funny things at me. Erica Priscilla is so funny.
I'm gonna follow her.
Screaming guy, Spencois, who screams in his car.
Oh yeah. Yep.
funny Barbie. I see her a lot. I also see a lot of women empowerment on my page, a lot. And that's all I want. I want to stay here forever. Mm-hmm. But it's like really like, okay, if this guy did this to me today and this is how I wish I reacted, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yes, good for you. Like, we're learning, we're growing, we're standing up for ourselves. Like, I love all that.
That's why I love the women empowerment ones. Yeah. I or like have looking
at people catcalling you. Genius. That girl's a genius.
So last thing before we close out, how do you think Bachelor finale, what's going to happen?
What do I think? I think, I'm just going to say what I want. End up with Michelle.
That's what I want.
Let's make it happen.
We're all about manifesting.
He's going to end up with Michelle and they're still dating to this day. And then the final rose ceremony, the girls are going to just be like, I'm so sorry. This was a poor showing of who I am. It's not really me. I'm sorry. And then we're all going to say, here we go. Who's the new host?
I think we want the same things. And I definitely, man, that would be great. Again, manifesting everything. Yeah. So Deanna, before we say goodbye to you, please tell everybody where they can follow you. Give a little plug for yourself, please.
Amazing. Follow my TikTok at Deanna Giletti. I'm also Instagram Deanna Giletti. My YouTube is Hype of the Day. And I have a podcast called The Hype Cast as well. It's really just to like hype up your life and your affirmations and get you feeling like the 10 out of 10 you are.
Because I love it. We love it. We love you. Thank you so much for coming on today. Definitely a 12 out of 10.
Okay. And
I look forward to seeing all of your wonderful OOTDs to come.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, so Allison was a sneaky little devil and ended up putting in our episode outline that only I'm giving out 2 roses today.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was already like that.
I missed it when she wrote it down. My bad.
It is your bad.
So the first one I'm going to give out is the Katie Porter Rose. She is a representative from the state of California. And she's a very good speaker and she's very like to the point and she likes to poke with questions and get out answers. I'm giving that to Breeze, Mom. She gave me very strong Katie Porter vibes.
Okay.
And I like that about her.
Okay, nice.
Do you want to throw one in just for fun or do you just want to stick to the guideline?
Yeah, just sticking to the guideline.
Okay, we're sticking with that. The second one I'm going to give out is the Cheryl Miller Rose. Cheryl Miller, one of the greatest women basketball players of all time. Giving it to Michelle's mom. Giving out mom roses today.
Mom roses.
Because she was getting buckets on that court.
Buckets.
Just like Cheryl did back in the day.
You're right.
Actually,
I will give a rose to Deanna because thank you for coming on the podcast and cannot wait to keep watching your TikToks.
I will give you one as well, Deanna. Can't say I'll watch all the TikToks only because I'm not going to be on
the
app. Only
because he doesn't have the app, so I have to text him TikTok videos.
I will watch the ones that Allison sends to me. How about that?
That deal? Feels like a fair compromise. I will continue to watch every single TikTok. I live for the outfit of the days. And I cannot wait to watch Deanna on the future season of The Bachelor.
Yes, so thanks again to Deanna for coming on. And Allison, we have a fun little plug that we want to put in this week's pod.
We do, yes. So our friends over at The Cheesy Curator, which is a fantastic name, they make these amazing, beautiful, incredible charcuterie boards. Customizable, all different sizes and all different things you can include. And they are doing special. I actually got one for Valentine's Day and it was amazing. They're doing special boards for the Bachelor finale, which is going to be amazing. Evan and I will be having one and will be doing a full report on how great it is. So the Cheesy Curator, located in Cincinnati, follow them on Instagram. They are doing a special for the Bachelor finale. Like I said, it's $30 for a board. The smallest board, which is again the $30, feeds probably 4 people to snack on or 2 people if you're making it like a meal. Mm-hmm. But they can make them bigger, smaller. They can customize everything, and it's awesome. You guys should definitely check them out.
I'm excited to eat the cheese.
I'm also excited to eat the cheese. So we will also be, next week we'll be talking a little bit more about it and then also talking about Matt's charcuterie boards on TikTok. So if you haven't been on TikTok, like Evan, go look at Matt James on TikTok, and he makes some ridiculous Lunchable style charcuterie board. So
I'm actually pretty sure that like eventually TikTok is going to infiltrate every part of culture, and I'm going to have no idea what's going
on. You barely do now. You barely understand a single reference.
I'm like a 65-year-old dude right now.
It's exhausting. I have to explain everything to you. Like,
sorry, Jesus.
Like,
tell me how you really feel.
Like, I have to explain all the references because you don't understand them.
Right.
But that's why we're a team.
That's right.
That's why we're a team. It's why we balance each other out.
Mm-hmm. Yin and yang.
Exactly.
Hot and cold. Yes and no.
So while TikTok has become my favorite social media platform by far, some other social media platforms and ones you can follow us on are Twitter and Instagram. And we are at Batch Please Pod. So follow us at Batch Please Pod. Follow the Cheesy Curator. Check out all of their absolutely stunning cheese boards.
Follow Deanna on TikTok.
Be
one of the million plus people that do. Yes. Just like a million plus people listen to us.
Yes. She has recently hit 1 million followers, which is insane. So give her a follow. Give everyone a follow. And we will be back next week to chat the Women Tell All.